Our scripture comes today from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and it's regarding the establishment of the church. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come today and we take a look at the difference that an empty tomb makes, we ask that your Spirit would speak to us and that that Spirit's power would flow through us. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We just finished a series called The Chronicles of Jesus, in which we took 72 hours of Jesus' life, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before Easter, and we took a look at what that meant. But then, of course, Easter has come and Easter has gone, and so the question we have is, what do you do after Easter? What difference does an empty tomb make? That's the same question the disciples were asking themselves. They were in a room with about 120 other people, and they were trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. They were trying to connect the dots between what Jesus did in his life and what had been prophesied about the Messiah, and yet you have a Messiah who died. And yes, they knew that he said he was going to be resurrected, but they hadn't seen him yet. And I'm sure that while they're in the upper room, they're trying to figure out, okay, trying to remember some of those moments while he was with them. Remember when he was feeding the 5,000 and he did it with just a kid's meal? I mean, and then he said he was the bread of life. Oh, maybe that's what he was talking about. I think they were trying to make some connections while they were sitting there in that upper room. But the question they asked, what difference does the empty tomb make, is the same question we're going to deal with today. Luke writes the book of Acts, and it is the story of the early church. It's the story how, after his resurrection, how the early church and the testimony of 12 apostles, including Paul, turned the world upside down. And he begins the book of Acts with Jesus' ascension into heaven. Jesus does something again, which sort of makes us go, huh? He gathers the disciples around him. He starts talking to them about final details, whatever those might be. They ask him a couple of questions about the end times, and he says that's only on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. And then he says something really strange to them. He says to them, I want you to go and go to Jerusalem, but then I want you to just wait. Now, if I'm one of the disciples, I'm sitting there going, wait for what? What am I waiting for? I know who you are, finally. I know what you've said. I've seen the things that you've done. You told us to go out into the world and make disciples. So what is it that I'm missing? Why do I need to wait? And here's where we come to that place in Christianity where so many of us get caught. We know how to become a Christian. We know maybe how to say that prayer. The struggle comes in we don't really know how to be the Christian we've become. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. How do we be the Christian that we've become? Jesus says, I know you all think that you're ready to go, but I'm telling you, you're not prepared for the mission. You got to wait. Wait for what? Well, the short answer to that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. So with that as an introduction, that sort of leads us into the differences or what the impact of the empty tomb in our life. What difference does it make? 4 points, quickly. The first difference that an empty tomb makes is it means that we worship a living Jesus, a living God, not a dead one. Every other religion in the world, their God has bones in the earth. It's dead men that they worship. Christianity is the only God that still lives. Now, skeptics will tell you that Jesus didn't really physically, bodily arise from the dead. It's just a myth. But they've got a problem. And the problem is they were two highly motivated groups of people that would have turned the world upside down to find the body. The Romans and the Jews. And you know, the body was never found. In fact, even worse, when the body was found, he was upright and alive. And if there were two people in particular that were really motivated to find Jesus, it was the soldiers that were guarding the tomb. Because in that day and age, if you were a soldier guarding somebody and they escaped, it didn't go well. You either were killed or imprisoned. Nobody ever showed. But there's another testimony to the fact that we worship a living God, and that is that we have the testimony of the early Christians, of the early church, who in spite of horrendous persecution, never denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Historians will tell us that in AD 34, 1 year after Jesus died, that 2,000 Christians were put to death because of their belief, because of the fact that they were unwilling to say that Jesus was still dead and buried. People don't willingly die for a lie, but they will die for the truth. So the empty tomb tells us the significance of the fact that Jesus is alive, and that's the God that we worship. There's a second thing that the empty tomb gives us, and that it gives us a huge advantage. On the night before Jesus is betrayed, in John, the 16th chapter, Jesus is having dinner with his disciples, and he makes this statement. He says to them, he's trying to comfort them, but he makes this statement to them. He says, you know, it's better that I leave. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would have said that is just ridiculous. How in the world is it better that you leave? How is that possible? I mean, if I'm there, I'm asking him all kinds of questions. There's so many questions that we would want to ask. You know, Jesus, how did God really create the world? Way back when, how did that happen? And where is the Ark of the Covenant, by the way? Where is that buried? And while we're at it, where's Noah's Ark? And then the most important question is, what are the lottery numbers for next week? We'd like to take a look at Jesus. We'd like to see him physically. What did he look like? Long hair, short hair, brown eyes, black eyes? Tall, short, heavy, thin? What kind of a voice did he have? There's just so many things that we would want to have him physically with us. Just the fact that he's physically with us would bring in a tremendous comfort. But Jesus says, you know what? He says, it's better that I leave. It's better that I go back to my Father. Why? So that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe you, hopefully you've had this experience where you've been doing something, or maybe you've been engaged in a conversation with somebody, and you say something, and there's like this little ping in your mind that says, that wasn't a good thing to say. Or maybe you're watching something, and there's this nudge in your mind that says, you know what, this isn't really good to watch. Or you're about to do something, and there's this voice that says, nah, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit working through your conscience to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is what, it's his job to sort of tell you that stuff. It's his job to sort of keep you on track. It's his job to say, you know what, you're getting a little too close to that line. Maybe you want to consider taking a few steps back. It's his job to say, you know what, you don't really want to trespass into territory where you don't belong. Maybe you ought to try a different route. Jesus says the empty tomb is a huge advantage because with that empty tomb comes the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's an advisor. He's a counselor. He's a defender. And he's a protector against temptation. Paul in Ephesians gives us sort of a different perspective. He says this, I pray that from God's unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength of his Spirit. And now listen to all the things that happen with the Spirit. He says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Who doesn't want that? But Jesus says, you know, if I stay here, I'm only one person in one place at one time. But if the Spirit comes, it's 100% God, 100% power, 100% of the time. What's better than having Jesus in person? The answer is the Spirit who can be everywhere. The second thing, or I should say the third thing that Jesus gives us, the empty tomb means that we have not only the Spirit in terms of his presence, but we also have the Spirit in terms of his power. The disciples want to head off and start their mission. They're all excited. And Jesus says, you can't do that until you have the power of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot live this spiritual life on your own. It's the biggest mistake we as Christians make. We continually, day in and day out, think that we can do this life on our own. But the huge advantage of the empty tomb is that we not only have the Spirit with us, but we have the power of the Spirit with us. Jesus says to his disciples on that same night, he says, look, this is the deal. Anyone who believes in me can do the same things that I have done and even greater things. Reflect on that for a good 5 seconds. And think about the things that Jesus did. And think about the promise that that entails. Now, I mean, the reality is, of course, when we hear that, we go, yeah, that's true. That was true for the Apostle Paul. It was true for Peter, true for James or John. It's just not really true for me. We don't really believe it. Why? Well, how many people have you healed this week? How many people did you raise from the dead? How many miracles have you done recently? But the fact that we haven't done those things, and next week we're going to talk about why we can't do those things, but the fact that we haven't done those things doesn't mean that we don't have the power to be able to do them. Jesus says, if you've committed yourself to me, then you have the power to be able to do things that I did here on earth. And that's an incredible promise that I want to tell you, most of us, we just sort of walk away from that one. Because we don't know what to do with it. In our hearts, we don't really believe it. Here's the thing, though. Here's what's kind of interesting about all this. You know, we think back and we say, it would have been so cool to be one of the disciples, to be able to walk around with Jesus. You know, sort of watch that show. It would have been great to watch him do miracles and heal people. But what Jesus is saying is that as cool as that might have been for you, it's even better if I leave. Because the truth is that when the disciples are with Jesus, all they could do was watch what he was doing. They did not have the power to do that on their own. And the difference between them and us is we have that power in us today. Think about that for a while. There's a fourth thing that the empty tomb means, and that is that it makes the Christian life possible. Here's the question that Christians have been asking for years and years. Why is it that there are people like Paul who are absolutely spilling over with the power of the Spirit in them? Why are there people that we meet that just seem the Holy Spirit is just, I mean, it's every square inch of their being seems to be packed with Holy Spirit. And you and me, well, I don't know about you, but me, I'm packed with the spirit of Oscar the Grouch. Why is that? Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's now no longer myself that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. In other words, what Paul is saying is that the cross paid for my sin, but it's the empty tomb that allows me to live the life. The cross paid for me to become a Christian. It's the empty tomb that makes the Christian life possible. So what does all this sort of mean? Let's sort of pull this together. Paul in Romans 5 sort of helps us understand a little bit of what that means. In verse 10, he says this, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, in other words, the cross made my being able to come to Christ, to God a reality. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, how much more will we be saved through the life of his son? In other words, Paul's saying, you know what, if you think that you're a Christian because of what Christ did to you or did for you on the cross, how much more are you going to be a Christian because of the empty tomb and because of his life? And the question is, what does he mean by that word more? I mean, what's more? And what he means is this. He means that the cross pardoned you, but the empty tomb empowers you. How does the empty tomb empower you? If Jesus isn't resurrected from the grave, then he has not ascended into heaven. If he doesn't go to heaven, he does not send the Holy Spirit. But it all starts with the empty tomb. Let me say that a different way. The cross redeems you. The empty tomb regenerates you. The cross is Jesus dying for you. The empty tomb is now Jesus living through you. Chris Brown is a pastor, and he says this very well. He said this, "His death for me allows me to become a Christian. His life now in me allows me to be the Christian I become. His death changes my final destination. His life changes my destiny. His death makes heaven my home. His life makes this world his workshop. His death got me out of hell into heaven. His life got God out of heaven into me. His death forgave my sins. His life gives me power over sin. His death 2,000 years ago means my death daily now." So many of us, you know, we know how to become a Christian. We've said the prayer, but we get stuck in trying to figure out how to be the Christian we've become. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "I know I've given you a mission, and I know you know the stories, and I know you know who I am, and I know you know what I've done and all that kind of thing, but you need one more thing. And that is, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. And you will fail miserably in this life." But the question we ask, and the question we're going to deal with in the coming weeks, is this: what does it mean to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How does that translate into our lives? The cross pardons us, but the empty tomb, the Spirit, empowers us. And next week, we're going to take a look at what does that mean. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we're so thankful today that you've given us your Spirit and the power of that Spirit, and that we can live, actually have you live in and through us. Help us to never take that for granted, but help us to always walk and be open to your power in our lives. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.